tonight before we go into the laying on of hands. I want to take just a moment before we give an opportunity to receive the offering for the harvest of souls and read a passage of scripture found in John chapter 2. It was the very first miracle that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. When you do a miracle for the first time, it's going to be remembered. There'll be some in between that you don't remember. And the end of the book of John says, all these miracles that Jesus do, they were written down. I do not suppose the books of the world will contain them. So we only have a small account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of the miracles that Jesus performed during his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. This is an amazing passage. And on the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Be careful when your mother shows up. Something's going to happen. Jesus also was invited with his disciples to the wedding, and when the wine was all gone, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no more wine. And Jesus said to her, dear woman, what is that to you and to me? What do we have in common? Leave it to me. My time, hour to act, has not yet come. But his mother said to the servants, now she didn't pay any attention to what he said. She said, whatever he says to you, do it. Now, that little line right there is the key to anything, whether it be in the financial realm, whether it be in your business, whether it be in your ministry. The same principle applies because basically we're waiting on the Lord. Whenever I find myself in a predicament, yeah, I predict that the outcomes are going to be good because I go to the Lord. What do you want me to do? And God will give you a word. Just because he gave you a word 3 months ago doesn't mean say that's what he's going to do now. It'll be different. It'll be on the spur of the moment. It'll be for the moment. And you need to do exactly what he tells you to do. You will never find yourself in any situation or circumstance that there won't be a word from God to get you through. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the circumstance that you're facing, the word of the Lord will come. The word of the Lord will come to you, and it'll be a transforming word. It'll be a word spoken into your spirit, and by that you can fight the war. Because the Lord told me, God spoke to me, and it's very personal. Some people might laugh at you and he thinks God speaks to you, but they can't deny the fruit that's in your life, because when God speaks to you, it'll come to pass. Can you say amen? Now the Bible says there were 6 water pots of stone standing there, as the Jewish custom of purification or ceremonial washing demanded, holding 20 to 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them to the brim. And then he said, draw some out now and take it to the manager of the feast, to one presiding, the superintendent of the banquet. So they took him some. And when the manager tasted the water, just turned to wine, not knowing where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, he called the bridegroom. And he said, everyone else serves his best wine first. But when people have drunk freely, then he serves that which is not good. But you have kept back the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, miracles, and wonder works, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory. By it he displayed his greatness and his power openly. And his disciples believed in him, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on him. Now, what does this tell me? First of all, and I mean, I'm sorry that I even have to clarify this, that was not the same wine that people drink today. The wine of the Bible and the wine of today, totally different processes. And I don't have time to scientifically get in and explain why it was different, but it's not. So people say, Jesus turned the water into wine, I can drink it too. No, absolutely not. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I have documents on my website that have been put out by scientists that goes through the scientific breakdown of modern-day wine and how that you come under the influence of spirits. That's why wine and spirits. Have you ever seen a store that says wine and spirits? Because the moment you drink of it, you come under the influence of a demon spirit. I'm telling you right now, and I warn you by the Spirit of God, so you know what you're doing. Some say, well, I can handle my liquor. No, you can't, because you don't know what pass over into the place of intoxication. Please, I beg of you, stay away from the stuff. If somebody said, I'm under pressure, I need a drink. Why would you go to the devil to get relief from the devil? That don't even make sense. So I'm under pressure from the devil, so I'm going to go to the devil to get relief from the devil. Seriously, you're going to wake up in more trouble than you could shake a stick at. So that's all I want to say about that. But anyway, first of all, this is a wedding. What does this show me? Jesus loves weddings. People get married in God. I tell all the young people in our church when they get married, they say, we don't have the money for this. I said, you watch what God's going to perform for you. I said, the ring will come. Everything will come. We have a young couple getting married now. This young lady came to work for us for 6 years. She told me, I will never get married. I'll never go in the ministry. She's in the ministry and she's getting married. And I mean, she told me never, never, never. I mean, it's impossible. I mean, she came out of the military, a total basket case. I mean, she gave her testimony, and when we heard it, we were shocked. She was raped for 1 year by a senior official in the military when she was serving in England. And so she drank. She was only 19 at the time, and she drank herself into oblivion and just didn't even know how to drown the pain. But God healed her over 6 years. She came into our Bible school about 3 months out of alcohol, and God totally transformed this girl's life. You must hear her preach the word. I mean, it's a miraculous, supernatural, miraculous. And anyway, so she and this young man going to get married now on the 1st of June, and they said, Pastor, we don't. I said, you watch what's going to happen. The ring came. The dress came. I mean, just everything. It's just all coming together. Everything coming. I said, you know why? Because Jesus loves weddings. And he's in this, and you watch what he's going to, and he'll even give you the honeymoon, and he'll even give you the time away, and your hotel, and everything is going to be paid. You watch what God's going to do. So I tell people, believe God for God to get involved in your wedding, because I see that happening here in John chapter 2. So he turns the water into wine. Now, what does he do? The thing that Jesus asked them to do was a ridiculous thing. I mean, you think about it, fill the pots to the top with water. Hello? Hello? Fill them to the top with water and then draw out and it's turned into wine? What if this fails? We're going to be the laughing stock of this wedding. But they obeyed. Mary had said, whatever he saith to you, do it. In what he says to you is the key that causes the miracle to come to pass. Fill the water pots with water. Okay. Is it ridiculous? How many would say it's ridiculous to fill water pots with water and expecting it to be wine? But many times, in order to see the miraculous, you need to do the ridiculous. Something that in your mind says that's impossible. And every time we found ourselves in a situation where we needed miracles, the Lord always come to me and tell me to do the ridiculous. And I go, Lord, seriously? I mean, come on, God, this is insane. You know, I'll tell you what happened. I fly over to Southern Africa to go preach in one of the townships there, African church. They had probably about 1,500 people. Of course, the crowd was a little bit bigger because they advertised. So about a couple of thousand that was there for this meeting that I was conducting. This is back years ago, probably over about maybe 11 or 12 years ago. And I'm jet lagged. If you've ever flown to Africa, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, when you get jet lagged, your head gets about this size. And then it wants to go down. You know what I mean? Your head wants to lie down. It's so heavy. Like you feel like you're this body walking this big head around. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. And it's just like you just want to sleep. I mean, I've been so tired that I've been standing in the meetings and give an altar call, and the people come for prayer, and I'm praying the sinner's prayer with them, and I think I can hear my voice trailing off, like you're falling asleep at the wheel when you're driving the car. And you go, and you think, I hope I didn't pray over the food. You know what I mean? When you get out, was that prayer okay? Did I pray anything unusual? No, it was fine. Oh, thank God. Whew. And so I go lie down in the afternoon, and the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to give this pastor R1 million. Now, I mean, at that time it was 10 to 1 on the exchange rate, so it was about $100,000 for us. And I didn't have it, and I'm lying there on the bed. I'm going, no, seriously? It's cost us our airfare, our hotel. I mean, we're not going to recoup it out of this or cover even just the basic cost. I mean, basically, I'm coming here, I'm preaching for nothing, and then I'm still going to give him R1 million. I said, Lord, and then I think, no, this is just jet lag. This is totally jet lag. So I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I bind it right now. Be gone from me. So I fell asleep, woke up, got up, went to go shower, heard, give him R1 million. Oh, so I always just wait. I always wait for the third time. So I'm going on, get to the church. I met the pastor in the back room, and I saw him. When I saw him, give R1 million. So I said, Pastor, we're going to give your church R1 million. And he burst out crying. I thought, oh, my God, what have I done to the guy? And I did not know that they had R1 million in their building fund that a businessman stole out of their church the week before I got there. And I was doing this, was replacing what was taken. The church went ballistic. You know that just the last couple of years, because, you know, it's in Africa, it took some time, but they've dedicated their new 3,000-seater sanctuary. He sent word. He said, that seed that you sowed has now produced this beautiful church. And, of course, they want me to come by and do a meeting in it. But I was just thinking about it. At that time, I didn't have it. And I said, Lord, okay, so I don't actually have it right now. So what do you want me to do? He said, just take it over the next 12 months. Every month, you send him a check, break the R1 million, which would be $100,000, break it into 12 months increments, and give it. And we did. And I cannot begin to tell you the miracles that God began to do in our own ministry at that time. When I took the step of faith to do the ridiculous, then we saw the miraculous. Another situation we found ourselves in, I went to go preach in the Australian outback. I mean, I went into the outback. I was so far outback, I was in front. We flew into Halls Creek. I mean, actually, we flew into Darwin, went down to Kununurra, and then drove to Halls Creek. I preached to the largest gathering of Aboriginal people. There were several thousand people came into Halls Creek. They drove from over 2,000 miles to get there. And the power of God fell, and we were then going to go down to Alice Springs, and we were going to see Ayers Rock. That's the Hard Rock with no cafe. And anyway, so some of you get that, some of you don't, but that's fine. Just smile. Act like you know what I'm talking about. And so I'm doing this especially for the Aussies that are here. You understand, yeah, the Aussies will. And so anyway, the pastor of the church in Halls Creek, he said, look, because we were going to drive back to Kununurra and fly down to Alice Springs. It would be a couple hours. We'd be there. So I said, well, when are you getting there? He said, it's going to take me 2 days to drive. I said, what? He said, yeah, I've got to drive and then get on the Stuart Highway and drive all the way down. You fly, I'll see you tomorrow night. I said, no. There must be a shorter way. You know, I'm from Africa. There's got to be a shorter way. I said, give me a map. Look at it. I said, here's a route down here. He said, yeah, but that's the track through the desert, through the great desert. It's called the Tanami Track. I said, we'll do it. I said, I'm going to drive you. We're going to leave Sunday night, and we'll be there. And I said, I want you to trust me. I know how to drive on dirt. I learned to drive on dirt. I mean, I know how to broadside the car and take it through the turns and everything. Because when I was a kid, I learned to drive on a dirt road. And in Africa. And so we loaded up the Land Cruiser with the double tanks that had a snorkels on, you know, because you might have to come onto some rivers, which I was glad later on that we had the snorkel. But anyway, so we get out of town 2 hours, and we get, the sun is now, there's no light. It is dark. When you get out, all you see is the stars, and you can't even see your hand in front of you. That's how dark it is. and we're coming over this hill, and we come down, and there's water. Water. For as far as the eye could see, I said, where's the bridge? He said, there is no bridge. I said, seriously? How are we going to get across? He said, well, it's not that deep. You're just going to have to take the vehicle and just dip it down in. You'll see these tracks, and stay in the tracks. It'll be fine. He said, it's about 500 yards of this river. And I said, we're going to do it? He said, yes. I said, well, is there the other way around? He said, yes, back 2 hours to Hawk Creek and then 2 days drive. I said, okay, that means we got to go. So we dropped down over. We went through. The water was coming right up to the door handles, but we went right through, come through the other side. And then I began to travel. I was doing about 140 kilometers an hour because they got this very fine dust, very, very fine dust. And when you hit it, it's like going through water. And if you go, the corrugation was such that if you went 100, it would just shake you to pieces. At 140, it was calm. So he said to me, you're going to ruin my shock absorbers. I said, I will buy you all brand new shock absorbers when we get to Alice Springs. Just hang on. Now, he was 65 years old, okay? And I said to him, is this how you conduct your ministry? You ride like this. He said, it takes me days to get to our churches. Days to get to the churches. I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, there's no airplanes. He said, no airplanes go out where we go. Remote villages. And he's been doing that for many, many years. So we drive. There was only one gas station. Now imagine driving 1,350 kilometers and one gas station. There was another one at a place called Rabbit Flat, but this little Aussie guy lived in there behind bars. And if you came on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you could get filled. If you got on there on Wednesday, you had to wait till Sunday. He would not fill your tank. The thing was open 3 days a week, and he had a shotgun. He would just stand with the shotgun. Pretty mean character at a place called Rabbit Flat. And so we pulled into the gas station. We managed to do 850 kilometers filled up. Then we hit the Stuart Highway, and we looked back, and there was this billboard. Tanama track closed for 3 months. I had just come 1,350 miles on a road that was closed. No wonder I never saw another car. Can you imagine 13, how would that be from here to where? Huh? To Rochester, New York. How much? That's 1,350 kilometers, so about 1,000 miles. Okay, to where? From here. Tell me. From here to Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, imagine driving from here to Jacksonville and you didn't see nobody. 13 and a half hours in a car. And when the sun rises, boing, boing, there goes a kangaroo. You know, I mean, that's what you see. After the service, I went shooting kangaroo because the Aboriginals eat them. So now you go to shoot like this. Anyway. So we get into Alice Springs, and I go into the hotel, take a shower, and the Lord speaks to me and says, I want you to buy him an airplane. I said, Lord, seriously? You think I've got bags of money? I mean, where in the world am I going to get? I said, Lord, we're trying to buy the property in Tampa. This was 2001. We're trying to buy the property in Tampa, the 83 acres, and now you want me to buy him an airplane. And the Lord said to me, do you need my help with the property in Tampa? I said, yes. He said, buy him an airplane. So we went, we had supper, and I said, the Lord told me to buy an aircraft, and he started weeping. And the very next meeting that we went, when we finished up in the Aboriginal communities, we were down in Melbourne, and I just told our partners in Australia, and we raised the money. We bought an airplane that was a single-engine plane that the thing had, it was about $150,000, and it came with a pilot. The pilot flew it and everything, and we raised enough money to fly the plane for 5 years, and that man spent the next 5 years flying to all the villages, and his ministry was multiplied. And back home, God gave us the miracle to buy the property with no money. With no money. God gave us the miracle. And the Lord said to me, had you not obeyed me? And I thought, Lord, this is the ridiculous. Now, You've got to understand something. I know we're going to give you opportunity to give right now, but this is more than an offering. This is about a lifestyle, because you're going to go from here and you're going to find yourself in a situation. You're going to find yourself in a predicament. And you're going to ask God, how do I get through this? And you're going to have to hear the words that Mary said, whatever he saith to you, do it. And then you're just going to have to do it. And something happens when you step out and you begin to obey the Spirit of God. As you are being obedient, God's releasing on this side because of your obedience, and the flood begins to come, and you begin to see the blessing of heaven take place in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's not just always on a big thing like give R1 million or buy an airplane. It could be on a little tiny thing, something smaller. But your obedience and your faithfulness to obey God in the middle of all circumstances is the thing that causes the blessing of God to come in your life, for you to see the river of God in the area of provision. And God's people need to live like this in the times that we're living in. You know, they're talking about right now the revaluation of many different currencies over the next few days. We don't even know what the implications of that is going to be. We don't know what that means. Because if you revalue a currency, that's going to affect another currency. We don't know what effect that's going to have on the U.S. dollar. And so what we've got to understand, there is a move on to take the dollar off of being the currency of the world. And we don't know what effect that's going to have on this nation. There are elements that are hell-bent on destroying America, bringing it to its knees, bringing it to a place of bankruptcy. And I know there's many people say that they can't do that, but you have to understand, when the system is already perverted and the leaders are already corrupted on both sides of the aisle, the only one that can save us right now is the Lord. So God's people have to learn to live in the supernatural realm of provision, as in the case of water turning to wine, as in the case of the coin coming out of the fish's mouth, as in the case of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. God's people have to learn to live in this miraculous supernatural realm of provision. And it comes down to whatever he saith to you, do it. Because you could be fishing, and you fish all night, and you caught nothing. And then what does he say? Cast your net on the other side. Which again is a ridiculous thing if you're a fisherman, because you know that side it goes down, this side it goes down, it's the same down. How come it's fish here and not there? Well, especially when you're throwing a net down. But when Jesus is in your boat, because what did Peter say? Lord, we fish all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word. So what is the word of the Lord? You've got to find the word of the Lord. You have to ask God. And God will tell you, the Lord will prepare you for what's coming, so that you won't be fazed by the financial institutions that collapse. You won't be fazed by any so-called paper investments that are now worth nothing. You won't be fazed by any of that, because that's not where your source is. Your source is not in these things. Your source is in God. Plus, you have a key. And what is that key? Whatever he says to me, do it. That's the key. So as long as I can hear him, I'm not going to have a problem. As long as I can hear him speak, I'm never going to have a problem. When we first went on the nightly telecast, Bob Dandridge from Channel 22, CTN, he said, you need to change your whole platform. You need to get new sound. This is November. What church is able to redo your platform, buy a brand new sound for the church going into December? But I had to. We go live on the 2nd of January. I just said to the church, I'm believing God. I tell you, the money began to come in. We just kept radically. They said, should we stop our Christmas? You know, the big outreach. I said, don't stop one thing. You just keep doing that, and we're going to keep believing God. And we were able to do that all. When we finished that year of live broadcasting and we needed our auditorium back, I said, we need to build a studio. We had a place across. There's two big buildings, you know, like a where the children's church on, the youth department, and everything. And we had this whole area that was used for the shipping department. And I walked in there one day and I looked up and said, "This is the studio." And I said, "I want you to give me a quote on doing this out for television studio." And they come back and said, $500,000. And I'm walking around. And I thought, where am I? How am I going to get this again? It's November. You know, we're always making decisions in November for the January period. And so that, I said, how am I going to get $500,000 to build a television studio? How? And I had a word from God. And the word was this: what do you have in the house? Because you couldn't pirate the existing broadcast facility in the sanctuary, because then it has to broadcast the services live. We needed a total separate broadcasting situation. And about 18 months before, a ministry had donated about $4 million worth of television equipment that would be worth about $1 million. There were cameras with no lenses and stuff like that. And there was a lot of missing pieces there, but nonetheless, it was equipment. These big, huge Sony cameras, not the high def, but the huge Sony cameras, no lenses in that. And so I took my administrator, I took several of our pastors, said, "Come, let's walk, let's go in the warehouse. Where's all the stuff?" I said, "Okay, here's what we're gonna do. I know that the men that run the television ministry, they want the latest and the best and the most expensive, but I said, we're not going to do that. That's not what God told me to do. The Lord told me, what do we have in the house?" Now I said, "Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go through every one of these pieces of equipment, whether it be lights, cameras, cables, and whatever. Whatever we can use, you're going to use it. And we're going to be steward of what we have already here. And then whatever we don't have, we're going to buy." And the whole thing cost us $170,000. And this beautiful studio, Studio B, or Studio C, is up and it's functional. And we got the lenses and the cameras and it's these huge, big studio cameras, you know. They're not high def. But I said, "Look," they said, "Pastor, but you can get a small high def." I said, "No, I want the big ones. I just want the big ones for now." Because I always dreamed of having these giant cameras. So we got them there. And you know how they got the hydraulics on the camera. It's just phenomenal. So when you see it, it's a miracle. I take people around. See that cable? We prayed that in. You see this light over here? That light, we prayed it in. But the Lord gave me the word. Had I gone with what they quoted, $500,000. We would still be paying it. The Lord said, "What do you have in the house?" Okay? See, so I go, our whole ministry functions by the word of the Lord. If I don't have the word of the Lord, I can't do it. People say, "Let's do this." I can't. "Well, let's go." Yeah, I can't. Because I know that the word of the Lord brings the provision. You see? There's many plans and big ideas, and people can come along with this idea and that idea, but guess who has to pay for it? I don't have the money to pay for the idea. I have the finances by faith to pay for what the word of the Lord has spoken to me. Do you understand that? Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know it's the will of God, you get a flounder. You're gonna stumble. You will always be in the hole. But if you know, okay, Lord, help me out of this. I need a miracle. The word of the Lord will come. It will be plain, and God will show you exactly what to do, and you'll see it come to pass. And miracles will happen. I tell you, you can live your life in the supernatural realm. It does not make sense at all what I'm telling you. It doesn't make reason what I'm telling you. But when God speaks, that's all you need to know. This is what the Lord said. This is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen. Hallelujah. And you just be bold about it. Do you know God wants to tell you what to do? Did you know that? How many are facing situations right now? Nobody. Oh, it's phenomenal. This group is phenomenal. How many are facing situations right now? Okay, the Lord will tell you exactly what to do. He'll speak to you in the night hours. He'll speak to you upon your bed. He'll speak to you while you're in the shower. You talk to him, he will talk to you. He will tell you exactly what to do. That reminds me of another old song that I used to sing when I was a little boy. "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I need to do is to follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, And all I need to do is to follow, you know. So you, strength for today, you know. The whole bottom line is it's a daily trust. Knowing that he's on your side, because the devil always comes and says, now you've done it. Now you're in it. You're never going to get out of this one. And you know, I tell him, shut up, because I got another word I'm going to whip you with. You belt up right now. You stop talking garbage. I'm not listening to one word of what you're saying. I don't listen to your word. I listen to what he says to me to do. And you know what he's going to tell me to do? I know what he's going to tell me. He's going to tell me to do some radical crazy thing, and I'm going to whip you with it. I'm going to whip you with it. I'm going to whip you with it. Hallelujah. We have seen this happen time after time after time again. The supernatural comes into manifestation when you do the ridiculous. And what is impossible with man is possible with God. And this is not just for me. God doesn't love me more than he loves you. He loves you too. He wants you to believe him and trust him. And then be willing that when he tells you to do it, that you do it. You don't argue. You don't argue and tell him, I don't like your plan. Just do what he says do and obey and watch what's going to happen. Let me close with this. You say, Brother Rodney, you mean the miracle's going to happen? You mean the water's going to turn to wine? Yes. Yes, it is. Because God doesn't give you a word that is redundant. God never gives you a bogus word. His words are sure. His word is true. He called you. He brought you out. Think back of where you've come from. Think back of where you could have been. Think back at the times that he delivered you with a strong and a mighty hand. You're still here. You might have been through the war, but you're still here. You're sitting here tonight. You're alive. You're breathing. Some of you barely, but you're here. You're here. You're not gone yet. You're not gone. There have been times when we've been under the water and I've had a straw with my one nostril breathing through the straw. I mean, it felt like that. But God makes a way and brings you out with a strong and a mighty hand. He will deliver you. So say this after me. Whatever he says to me, I'm going to do it. That's it. That's the key. So I wake up on a Monday morning, circumstance arise, I go, No. What do you want me to do? And people, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Chill out. I'll tell you when I know. Give me an hour or two or three. We're not making any decision. We have to do this now. No. We don't have to do one thing. Well, there's a deadline. I just moved it. Don't operate out of fear. Don't operate out of threats. You can't threaten me and you can't scare me. In extra fact, that'll fuel me. You get me in a corner, I tell you, I'm a bounce right over your head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the hand of God. I believe that coming out of revival now, many of the leaders and pastors, you go back in your churches. I mean, you're moving forward. You're taking territory. You're going after the harvest of souls. There are going to be challenges. And everything involves finances. No matter what do you do on the earth, everything involves finances. It's going to take money, honey, bread, Fred, dojo. It doesn't matter what you do. And guess what? The bank is not your source. The government's not your source. God is your source. And when he puts his favor on your life, you'll do what others can't do with millions of dollars. You'll do for nothing. And in the classic example, we're on television around the world and it doesn't cost us a dime. So that's a miracle in itself. And one preacher said, he said, I don't believe in this hundredfold return. I said, I guess you don't. It's evident. I said, how much are you spending for television time? Millions. I said, well, do you want to know what I'm spending? How much does your bailouts cost you a month? You want to know how many much my mailouts cost me a month? Nothing. So we don't have a mailout. Because we're not building it that way. I don't want to build that. I don't want to build it that way. It's not my ministry. It's his ministry. I got nothing to lose. Everything I have comes from him anyway. And you can't take it from me. Because I'll probably give it away before you take it. So when you come to take it, it's already gone. Whatever he saith unto you, do it. Who needed to hear this tonight? Let's pray right now. And then ask the Lord what he would have you do and be obedient to obey the Holy Ghost. Whatever he says to you. Not just tonight, but tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, next month, 3 months from now. Whatever he says to you, do it. Do it. Father, thank you for miraculous realm of provision. I pray for a gift of faith to fall on every leader in this place, every hungry person right now, for the supernatural gift of faith for provision. In the name of Jesus, they will not lack. There is more than enough provision to fulfill their vision. No matter how big the vision is, the provision for the vision shall come by the hand of the Lord, and you will furnish a table for them in the presence of the enemies. And Lord, I thank you that it will be a quick work. Let it happen even in the next 30, 60, 90 days. Let them see it exponentially multiply before their very eyes. And I thank you for miracles of provision. I speak it over their life. I speak it over their business. I speak it over their ministry in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You'd be driving down the road, and the Lord would say, buy that property. Again, I don't have the money. Whatever he says, you do it. You'd be going down this place. The Lord would say, I want you to do this. I don't have the money. You think about the money, you'll never do anything. Do what he tells you to do. And when you step, it's like when you step to the waters will part. As long as you sit on the bank, you'll see nothing. I want the ushers. Actually, in fact, they are offering envelopes in the front pocket ahead of you. You can make your checks out at Calvary Cathedral. You can also give by way of electronic giving on the offering envelope. If you're watching online, it's your opportunity to give. There should be an address on the screen. You can be a part with us in this harvest of souls in the Great Awakening. Amen. We believe in God to see America shaken. Hallelujah. Get the word out to people. If you know anybody that want to come down to our minister's conference starting in just over a week, the 19th through the 26th, it's going to be a phenomenal 8 days of heaven on earth, 2 meetings a day, and we just have a phenomenal time. And we actually have 2 of them a year, 1 in May, 1 in October. So come and be a part with us in that. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Does anybody need offering envelope? Everybody already ready? Okay. Hallelujah. I want Kirsten to come. And this song, the song the Lord gave me, and one of our brothers wrote the music for it, and I believe it's going to bless you tonight as you sow seed. Nothing is impossible.
nothing is impossible to you, my Lord and King. Nothing is impossible, Creator of all things. You pulled the worlds out of nothing, and you formed it by your hands. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Oh, nothing is impossible to you.
Take it away, Ben.
Is people going to come back or did they leave? Is that it? People just took off and left. Are they coming back? People are coming back. I'll tell you. I always tell people, don't ever leave during an offering. You first do the offering and then go. You don't want that to be the only contribution you make all night. That's why that's what's coming back to some people, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Just saying. An offering is worship. Yeah. Just so you know. I want Brother Raymond to come and bless us. What a blessing he is, all the way from Cape Town, South Africa.
I haven't done this song in a while, but it's one of my favorites. It goes like this. When peace like a river attendeth my ways. When sorrows like seas billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast told.